hands-on with the new iPhone 13 models. iOS 15 features to try out. Kindle gets a big upgrade. Plus, your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech. This is the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. It's also the place where I answer the questions you send me. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles, Hollywood, California. Yeah, we are literally in the middle of Hollywood. One of the last TV stations that's in Hollywood, in fact. There used to be a couple of them, and I think, yeah, at least one more. But I don't know. I guess they were all in the same area. What a great start to the show. Anyway, I digress. So this is the time of the year when tech companies just roll out more gadgets than any human tech reviewer can handle. I mean, just alone with Apple last week, we had all kinds of iPhones and iPads and this and that, and they're still not done, apparently. Still some things perhaps in the works by the end of the year. We don't know. But now next week we have Amazon, even though this week Amazon revealed like three new gadgets plus another, like an Echo, that has the face of Billie Eilish on it. So you got to be a true fan to get that speaker. And then we have the Pixel still coming. We had Facebook with new devices. I mean, just so many devices. I'm trying to keep up. And I'll talk about some of them in this show. But just to kind of follow up on last week's show, so I told you about the whole selling my car and getting a new one. So I will say that I absolutely love the new Tesla. It is far exceeded my expectations. And it's just such a pleasure to drive. It's the first time I think I've ever driven a car that I actually really, really like. And it's just really been a nice experience. And I think that the reason why I like it even more so than just the fact that it's a cool high-tech car is because it feels like I'm on the verge of something new. Like I remember when I got the first iPhone and I just kind of could not get enough of diving into the features and seeing what it can do and discussing it with people. And by the way, 13 years later, it's still like that. But the Tesla is a whole nother beast. I mean, it's like I've been on YouTube watching all the videos, and just every day I kind of find something new that the car can do. And also, it's given me a new kind of perspective on just electric cars and, you know, the whole entire ecosystem of cars in general. And I think that the Tesla is just the beginning. We are going to see a lot of disruption coming our way, and the Tesla is literally just at the forefront of it. And kind of like with phones, I mean, with iPhone, it spawned an entire new category of phone and device. And that's kind of the way I see the Tesla, but it's also a challenge for these companies to stay ahead. And I think Tesla is pretty far ahead with the whole supercharger network and the way that they do things and the fact that they built the company from the ground up. So anyway, I will continue to talk about it on the podcast because it's just fascinating to me. The whole idea that I leave work every day with a full tank of gas, so to say, is just such a new thing to me. And like last weekend we drove around, we didn't use a sip of gas because my wife's car, we just, you know, shelved it for the weekend because we wanted to take mine. By the way, I want to follow up on, I talked about how I sold my old car using shift.com, and I will say that it all worked out. It was amazing. So I couldn't believe it because Shift was willing to pay a little bit more than Carvana, so I went with Shift. But the difference is when my friend sold his car with Carvana, he had his money by the time they left the driveway. And Shift said, well, we take your car, we do a final inspection at the headquarters, and then you should have your money within a week. And I said, ugh, I'm like handing over this slip, you know, this DMV pink slip. And I just felt worried. But I will tell you that by the time I woke up in the morning, well, maybe not, I wake up pretty early, but I would say the next morning after the guy drove my car off, I had an email that said, hey, your car passed final inspection. This was like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. the next day. Your car passed final inspection and payment will be sent. And then I would say either the next day or the next day, payment was in my account, like cleared my bank account. So I was very impressed with Shift. I'll put a link in the show notes. I can put a referral. I think you get an extra $100. I'm not just saying this because of that, but if you want, you know, like every little dollar counts. Like if you're thinking of selling your car, it's a really good time. Like, they gave me more for my car than I expected because cars are so hard to come by, and I take good care of my stuff. So whoever gets my car next will really get a nice deal because they have a car that has low mileage, and it's a nice, you know, I mean, I don't think it's a nice car, but it's a nice car. Look, it's a car that gets you around. So anyway, I'm very, very impressed with the fact that we live in a world where you can sell your car. Someone will come to your place, pay you more than you think, and take it away, and your money is in there. You don't have to deal with people coming to your house for, you know, test drives and, you know, asking questions about it. I mean, these companies are so far advanced. They do all the research. I had a little fender bender on my car, and it was in the Carfax, no problem. It even said when I got my last oil change. I was so impressed with the whole thing. So these companies know that's how they can value your car so quickly. They're not like a regular person that has to like figure this stuff out. They have data behind them. So let's get to the big story of the week. The iPhone 13 releases this week, and already a bunch of reviewers got them early. I got mine probably a week after the, you know, I always say I'm on the B or C team with the reviewers. And so I'd say with Apple, I'm probably a solid B because the A-listers got theirs. They must have gotten them the day of the event or the day after, because already the reviews are out less than a week later. I get mine, you know, like a week after. So that's fine, you know. How do you do a review in the week? I don't know. I mean, that's really tough. But here is the bottom line. The early reviews say that the cameras are great on the iPhone 13. The battery life is great. There's double the base storage, which is nice. The front camera, no difference. Refresh rate on the iPhone 13 is still the same, 60 hertz. And as I confirm with Apple, the iPhone 12 cases do not fit. So there's always a slight difference, and your case, even though the phone looks the same, there's always a slight difference where your case does not fit. Funny how that works. So even after you spend another $800, you still got to spring for another $50 for a case. But I don't buy the expensive cases most of the time. Most of the time, I'll buy like a 30. It just depends. It depends on if I had a MagSafe case, yes, those are going to be a little bit more expensive. But there are some good cases out there that are not as expensive. Like I got my wife the Smartish case, which is really good, and it's like $13, and it's got a great grip on it. I like the Spigen cases. It's like a standard case. Okay, iPhone 13 Pro. This is the one that I'm most interested in because the cameras are much more improved. The battery, of course, is improved as well. It's got that high refresh rate for the display, so it's 120 hertz, and it adjusts. And then the front camera, I still think it's the same. And that cinematic mode, this is the big new thing that people are talking about. Now, I have the phones, and I've been playing with them, and I'll tell you a couple things. Number one, the iPhone 13 is kind of like a standard phone. So to me, if you are upgrading from last year, you don't need to go with the iPhone 13. But if you're upgrading from a couple years ago, yeah, you're gonna love the iPhone 13. The cameras are going to be improved. It's going to be better. The battery life is going to be better than last year. Last year, I think, and I mentioned this in my review last year, that the battery life was just not very good on the iPhone 12 or 12 Pro. And Apple definitely figured that out. They went back to the drawing board. They put bigger batteries in. They tweaked the software so that it helps, you know, keep the battery going longer. And I just know in my use of the iPhone 12 Pro that by the end of the day, like I'm talking, you know, 3 o'clock, whatever, my phone is actually even halfway through the day, my phone's just hurting. And I never noticed that on an iPhone before. Like my wife, I was telling her that last night, how annoying that is. And she's like, oh, that must be so annoying. Because she's got the iPhone 11 Pro Max. And the battery on that thing is a champ. Now, there's no 5G. And I think that's the main differentiator here. But hopefully Apple has figured out the battery. I have not had the phone, like using it long enough in a day to figure out the battery situation. But hopefully it's better. Now, the thing I did test out, I took the iPhone 13 Pro and I took it outside and I compared it against the iPhone 12 Pro and then the Samsung S21 Ultra. And so I will tell you that I thought that it was just going to be kind of blown away. Which one am I talking about here? Sorry, I got off track here. I thought I was going to be blown away by the iPhone 13 Pro because of all this talk about the cameras. And I'll be honest, I'm not as blown away as I thought. Now, I need more time with these things, and yes, it'll take a while to figure it all out, but I will say that I just think like it should have been better. Like it seems, and here's the thing, I'm not knocking it. I think that when it comes to phones, out of all the phones I test, the phone that will give you the most reliable, everyday, great pictures is always the iPhone. Samsung has a lot more going on with their camera, and yes, you can flex it in different ways that lets you have more fun with it, but the iPhone is just kind of the standard thing that just always works, and the apps are optimized for it, so that's always nice. But I will tell you, and you can look at these results. I have them on the website, ktla.com/, or just go to my website, richontech.tv, and look for the link that says iPhone 13 Pro photo comparison. And if you look at these pictures, you would not sit there and say, oh, wow, clear winner. I mean, look at all the pictures, and they're all nearly identical except for the picture I took of the moon, which is really where the iPhone or the S21 Ultra excels. But who's taking pictures of the moon every day? I mean, you take one picture of the moon, you've got, it doesn't change. So you've got a picture of the moon, you're good. You don't really need to take more of those. So you can see a couple things. I've got my hands on with all four of the new devices on my Instagram at RichOnTech. I've got pictures on the website, richontech.tv, for you to compare. I will continue to compare these devices and kind of form my opinions on them. But the reality is, the way I see things is that most people are wondering if they need a reason to upgrade. And so if you're a camera enthusiast, of course you always want the absolute best that's out there. Otherwise, I mean, it's one of those things where the iterations at this point, unless they're adding a big new feature, is just kind of like it's there. And it will be there when you're ready to upgrade. The phone will be great. And of course, the latest phone will always be pretty darn good. So one thing I will say is that the camera bumps on the new Pro models are significantly bigger than last year's. Apple just continues to push the envelope with these camera bumps. They get bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's like, I get it because they want to make this thing as good as possible, but it's a big bump. The other thing is that cinematic mode real quick, and just, I need to test it more, but it's definitely not a feature that you would buy a phone for. It's cool. It's portrait mode for your video, but it's not something that you need to like rush out and upgrade for. All right, let's get to the first question of the day. Michael says, hey, Rich, I have an old cell phone, an old Samsung tablet, and two old laptop computers. Do you have any suggestions on how to dispose of them safely and perhaps be useful to someone who uses the guts from these items? Please let me know when you have a moment. Thanks for doing such a great job on KTLA. I've been watching you for years and glad to see that you are back in the studio. Thanks again, Michael. All right, Michael, a couple things you can do with this. If you just want to get rid of these and recycle them, you can take them somewhere like a Staples. And Staples has a pretty robust recycling program. And they stopped it for a while, but they might have started it again. They stopped it during COVID, but let me see if they started accepting it again. It looks like they have started accepting it again. So I would go there. And it looks like they're there. So I would go there and let me just see one more thing real quick. Oh, hold on. Nope. Sorry. In an effort to keep our customers and associates safe, our tech recycling program has been temporarily suspended. So I guess they don't want to accept electronics that are from people's homes right now. So with that said, I would just go to my second choice, which is Gizmo Go. And this is a website that I did a story with. They have, proven themselves to be pretty worthy of this. They will either give you money for these devices, you can type them in the website, or you can just send them in and they will properly dispose of them. Now, you say you have two old laptop computers. If you're watching me on KTLA, that leads me to believe you're in Los Angeles. So I would lead you to someone called the Laptop Elf. And he will take your stuff and basically refactory format it and kind of fix it up and then give it to someone in need. So that's a cool little program, David Lombard. So he runs something called the Laptop Elf Project. So check that out And I think you bring the laptops there, you send the other stuff to Gizmo Go, and you're good. Now, if you just want to bring it locally, Best Buy does recycling. But again, you have to check with these companies to see exactly what they'll accept. I was recycling some batteries, and you know, I thought I can bring them into this store, this battery store, and they said, no, we don't accept those. So, but you can go to the library. And I went to the library. They had a little drop box outside, dumped the batteries in, and boom, felt a little better about myself because I used to throw out batteries all the time until I did a story about recycling batteries. And I had no idea that you should not throw your AA's and AAA's in the trash. And so I felt really bad the fact that I've been doing that. And I vowed to never do it again. And so now I keep a mason jar, and I go through a lot of batteries in this house with all the electronics and the kids and all that stuff. So when the batteries go dead, you throw them in the jar, and then when the jar fills up, you put them in a plastic bag, bring them somewhere. And as some people pointed out on my Twitter, Rich, you're not supposed to put the plastic bag in the bin. And I said, I didn't. I dumped the batteries out of the plastic bag, and then I put the plastic bag in another recycling bin. So yeah, I got you. But Michael, that's what I would recommend. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Okay, let's talk about iOS 15 since you've probably downloaded it and installed it on your phone. I'll just talk about some of the features that are new that you're aware of so you can check them out. The number one biggest feature is this thing called focus mode, which I think is a lot of busy work, but it has the potential to be useful, but it seems like a lot. So focus mode helps you create different profiles for your phone, kind of like Do Not Disturb, but amped to the max. So you can now have focus modes for fitness, for reading, for wellness, for friends and family, for your weekend, for your morning, for your afternoon, for your commute. And it's just like the idea is that you would set up all these modes and only the apps that you want would send you notifications. Only the people that you want could call you and text you. But it's a lot to set up. In fact, I was worried that when I was testing the iPhone 13, that my phone would, you know, when I upgraded to iOS 15 and I was, you know, going to sleep for the first time, I was like, is my phone going to ring this alarm in the morning? Because I have no idea what sort of mode I'm on, because the Do Not Disturb has been replaced with this focus, and it's kind of like it's a whole big thing now. And so I'm not convinced that this is what I want to do, is sit there and set this all up. But if you want to, you can. You go into Control Center, Focus, and then, go into Settings and then Focus, and then you can choose all your different focuses to get started. Now with FaceTime, they've got spatial audio, so voices sound like they're coming from the direction that they're on the screen. Okay, that's cool. That's small. You can also use FaceTime with friends and family who are on Windows devices. Like, if you're going through that much trouble to send them a link from FaceTime, I mean, yeah, it'll work in a pinch if you don't really want to install a different program. But by this point, aren't we all on Zoom? Like, do you really need to use FaceTime with like a friend that's not on Android or not on iPhone? I mean, use something like Google Duo. I don't think that the FaceTime link, I think that's kind of like a last ditch effort. If the person is like, I'm not downloading anything new on my phone. Or actually, hold on, let me think about this. If you're FaceTime, oh yeah, you would be the one that doesn't want to download anything new. Your friend that's on Android is using Duo or something else, but you're the one that's on iPhone. You're like, I already have FaceTime. What do I need another video chat app for? Oh, it'd be nice to have one that's cross-platform, like natively. I mean, yes, you can send a link to another device, but, and it looks fine. I tried it. It's fine. It's just not my preferred way of chatting. Let's see, shared with, oh, this is kind of cool. They've got this little section called shared with you. And so now when you know how people like text you something like an article and you look at it, but you're at work and you kind of forget about it until like 2 weeks later when you go back to their text and you're like, oh, totally forgot about that article they sent me and I never even commented on it. Well, Apple knows that this must happen a lot. And so now they have this thing called shared with you. So inside Apple News, Safari, Photos, Apple TV, Podcasts, and Apple Music, notice they are all Apple programs. Whenever someone sends you something, it will sort of go in this little section so that when you open up Apple News, oh, there's that article someone sent me on Apple News. You open up Safari. Oh, there's that link that Jim sent me last week that I never opened. Oh, there's that photo that I never commented on. There's that podcast I never listened to. When I opened up my podcast, I had a podcast from my friend John that he sent me like months ago that I never listened to, and because I just forgot about it. How do you bookmark it? I mean, you forget about it as soon as someone texts you. And then, of course, with music, that's pretty handy too. That would actually be probably the most useful because people can send you songs. But again, if you notice, this is all from native apps. So if you're not using all these native apps, then it doesn't really help you. So I still think it's a cool feature, though. It's nice to have. And definitely, all your old links, by the way, are indexed and they're now available. So if someone sent you something previously, if you go into any of these apps, you will see the stuff that people sent you previously. Now, the other big new feature on iOS 15 is called Live Text. And this is big. And they, I got to hand it to Apple. They did a really, really fantastic job of this. So you can now aim your camera at something and the text will light up and you can highlight it and copy and paste and whatever. Or you can take a picture and then press this little text button in the right-hand lower right-hand corner, and it will highlight all the things that you can do with this picture, which is copy and paste text. You can tap a phone number to call it. You can tap a website to go to it. You can tap an email address to send an email. And they nailed it. They did really, really good. And so I'm very impressed. And Google's had this forever, but I would say that Apple, I think, might have done a better job at implementing this than Google. And it's so funny because Google is so scared to like ever build anything into like the core functionality of Android because they're worried about like antitrust and all this stuff. So they always dance around like putting these features in places that like make it, you know, a little bit tougher for you to find because they want to make sure that they're not like pushing their own products. But Apple, they could care less. They just push all their own stuff. So they put this feature front and center. It's right on the native camera, and it works phenomenally. And honestly, Google should build this right into their native camera. They do in certain ways, but you still kind of have to press this lens button. And they just finally put Google Lens on the search bar on Android phones, which took forever too. So hopefully now that Apple has put this front and center, they will also put this front and center on the Google phones because it is very handy. Apple Maps, you know, all the headlines are like, Apple Maps is now on par with Google Maps. That is not true in any way, shape, or form. Google Maps has information on pretty much the whole world. Apple Maps has been upgraded for LA, New York, San Francisco, and London. So I'm sorry, I live in LA, which is great, and the maps look amazing here, but you go anywhere outside LA and they're not going to be as good. And honestly, I can tell you from personal experience, I like the look of Apple Maps better, but the raw data that they have is just not there. Google has so much data about businesses and up to the minute data about everything that Apple just doesn't really compete with. Now, I don't think that that's going to happen forever, but I think at this point, Google Maps is still kind of like a gold standard when it comes to mapping. And I really just trust them. And I can't bring myself to trust Apple Maps. I just can't because there's just too many times when I've typed in something and it just doesn't figure it out right. And I'm like, all right, sorry, going back to Google. The weather app, totally redesigned. It looks pretty cool. Now it'll tell you when it's going to rain or snow. It also has new big maps that show you how hot or cold it is. The Notes app now is pretty good. I mean, I would love to use the Notes app. I switched back to Evernote because I just can't get my brain around apps that are only on one platform. And Notes is really nice, but if I'm using an Android phone, I can't access any of my notes. And I just don't like that. If I'm on the web somewhere and I need to like somehow get a note, I can't do that with Notes. I mean, maybe you can. I don't think it's in iCloud, but maybe it is. It might be. You know what? Notes might be in iCloud. But my point is, it's one of these things where it's very much written for the Mac, it's written for the iPhone, it's written for the iPad, which is great if you only use Apple stuff. But I'd like to try to remain platform agnostic as much as possible because that allows me to choose the best product for the job and not just something that's convenient. And Notes is very convenient because it's built in and it does a lot of stuff and it's free and it's nice, but I just can't bring myself to use it in a big way. The thing that they added to Notes is you can now use hashtags, which is really cool because that helps you automatically organize notes. So when you're typing a note in, just type a hashtag and now you can see that hashtag along with other notes that have that hashtag. The email I got the most was from a bunch of people saying, Rich, what's up with this iCloud? Apple sent out an email that said, you've been upgraded for free to iCloud Plus. Oh my gosh, it sounds so fancy. But I mean, come on. It's like this is only for paying members of iCloud. So if you're paying for iCloud, you now get a couple of new features, which is the most notable to me is Hide My Email, which allows you to generate disposable email addresses. And that's kind of cool. So you can go into your settings, iCloud, password, I think it's, it's one of those. And you can generate it's not really a one-time use. It's just an email address that stays good until you delete it. And then it forwards that whatever email comes into that email to your real email. So the way that you'd use that is if you sign up for, let's say you want to buy something on Wayfair.com and you just can't stand getting emails from them for the rest of your life, you can use one of these private email addresses and make your order, do all your stuff. And then once your order has gotten to your place safely, you turn off that email address and you don't really ever have to hear from Wayfair again. I guess on the side note, if you need a quick email address to sign up for like a new coupon or a promo code, that would be an easy way to do it. So if you need to, get a 10% off or something and you need a new email address, like a new sign up, that could be a way to do it. The other thing they do is Private Relay. And this is kind of like a VPN. But they're not calling it a VPN, so clearly it's not a VPN. But the way that Apple describes it, it says when Private Relay is enabled, your requests are sent through two separate secure internet relays. Your IP address is visible to your network provider. So I think that's the difference between the VPN, because I don't think it is immediately. And to the first relay, which is operated by Apple, which AKA they can see your IP address as well. But your DNS records are encrypted, so neither party can see the address of the website you're trying to visit. Oh, okay. The second relay, which is operated by a third-party content provider, generates a temporary IP address, decrypts the name of the website you requested, and connects you. All of this is done to maintain high-performance browsing and protect your privacy. So it's kind of like a VPN, but a little bit less secure because Apple can theoretically see your IP address. And so can your network provider, which, you know, is fine. I guess it depends what you're doing. So if you're a real privacy fiend, you won't want to do that. But if you're just kind of like casually trying to protect your tracks, you know, this will be a nice thing to enable. I'll have to check that out. I'm not sure if I need that on my phone, but it's one more way to just kind of keep things private on there, right? All right. Next question from Maricar. Hey, Rich, I hope this email finds you well. I wanted to ask what a good Wi-Fi extender would be for me to use. I live in a two-bedroom apartment. There are literally dead zones in my dining area and in one of the bedrooms. I'd like for my Wi-Fi to reach throughout my place, but honestly, it's driving me crazy how slow it is in some areas. Can you recommend a good one? I have Spectrum for my internet service, if that makes a difference. Thanks so much, Maricar. Okay, so I did a story on this. It's Vilo, V-I-L-O, and it is a $60 mesh Wi-Fi network. And I did the review on this. I found it to be great, especially for standard Wi-Fi. If you need something if you told me you had like gigabit internet or like a huge house or something, I'd probably recommend Eero. But this is perfect for your two-bedroom apartment. And there's three units that you get for $60. And what you do is you put the first one by your modem, then you put the other two in the other far reaches of your house, and this will create a mesh network. So these things all communicate with each other to blanket your house in a nice network of Wi-Fi that works the same pretty much everywhere. And the reviews I got on this are pretty good. Like the people that, like I test this stuff, but I'm just one person. And so when people get this in their houses and they write me emails, so far, I think with the exception of one person, everyone said they really like how this works. So for $60, you can't really go wrong because that is a pretty good price on a better Wi-Fi for your whole house. So that's what I recommend. Check it out. And once you get it installed, let me know what you think of it. New Kindles are out. First time since 2018, these Kindles got a big new update, the Kindle Paperwhite. I'll just go over this quickly, what the new features are, because in fact, my wife scratched the heck out of the screen on her Kindle, so I've got to get her a new one. And it's funny because I have a case for my Kindle, which I get it. It makes it heavier and not as nice, but I've had this case on it since I've got it, and it's kept this thing pristine. I mean, my Kindle is perfect, and it's like a couple years old. And it's like, I want an excuse to buy a new one, but I don't need it. But my wife, she scratched hers And I said, I told you to get the case. And she didn't want it because she said, I don't need it. I don't bring my Kindle anywhere. It's fine. Well, sure enough, a huge scratch across the screen. So get a case. The one I bought is really inexpensive. It was like, had like 11,000 reviews or something. And it was super cheap. It was like 10 bucks. It's not the Amazon official, but it was like 10 bucks and it really did a great job. And of course, I know I'm going to get a million emails from people saying, Rich, which Kindle case did you get? So I will go ahead and look inside my Kindle order and see what the name of this case is, if I can find it, but I'm going to have to go way back. Moco case, fits Kindle Paperwhite, $11.99. So perfect. Perfect, perfect. Get it and protect your Kindle. But anyway, let me go over the new Kindle features. Okay. So the number one new feature is that these Kindles have USB-C on them, which is a long time coming. Everyone else in the world has switched to USB-C, except the Kindles were still shipping with micro USB. And that's fine because the Kindle battery lasts so long, you don't really need to charge it very often. But for me, that is pretty much the last thing that I have that uses micro USB. So when I finally get a new Kindle, will retire that and go to USB-C. And the other flip side is that I would always charge my Kindle before I went on a trip or vacation. And yes, the battery lasts so long, I didn't really have to worry about it much, but I didn't want to bring an extra cable. So, you know, now that I can have USB-C, I don't really have to worry about making sure that it's super charged up, right, before I go on a trip. So the Kindle Paperwhite is going to have 20% faster page turns, up to 10 weeks of battery life, up from 6 weeks. It's waterproof. It has everything you need for $140. And my warning to you is don't pay full price. These things go on sale all the time. So set a price drop alert on Honey or Camel and buy it when this thing goes on sale sometime over the holidays. They always go on sale. Next up, if you want to step up, is the Kindle Paperwhite Signature Edition. And this has they both have the front light, but this one has the sensor. And so the front light adjusts automatically, and it will adjust depending on how dark or light the room you're in is. And then it also has wireless charging, which I guess that's cool. I don't really see that as a big feature on the Kindle because the battery lasts so long. Like, wireless charging is good when you're trying to like keep your phone charged all day. But for a Kindle, I don't really see the point of that. And then you get more storage, 32 gigs. But again, who has more than one book on their Kindle at any given time? Like, do you really need to store more than one book on there? I don't think so. So that's $190. So really, the only thing you need there is the auto-adjusting front light sensor, which, quite honestly, my Kindle has that, and I still adjust the light manually because I find that the sensor is not all that great. The other thing they came out with is the Kindle Paperwhite Kids. This is the first ever waterproof Kindle for kids. No distractions, not like an iPad where it's got games and all these other things I want to buy all the time. It includes a one-year subscription to Amazon Kids Plus, which has thousands of books. Personally, I don't know. I mean, some of those books are probably good. Some of them probably are not very good. And then this is $160, which sounds expensive for a kid's Kindle. But again, find these things on sale. That's my advice with the Kindles. They go on sale late October, by the way. You can pre-order them now. They'll be available before the holidays. Next question from Lisa. Hey, Rich, you did a segment a few months ago about being able to download unlimited amounts of digital photos for $10 a year. Can you send me that information if it's still available? Sure. The website is called iDrive. Now, it's not downloading. I mean, I guess you could download, but it's really about uploading the unlimited photos. So iDrive is a company based here in the Los Angeles area, and they're known for their backups for like enterprise computers and also desktop computers. But they saw a need to do something when Google raised all their prices to introduce full resolution backup that's unlimited for $10 a year. And I got to say, I'm impressed. The app is very simple, but it does exactly what you need. So if you download this app to your iPhone or your Android, it will take in all the pictures on your phone, upload them to the cloud in full resolution and videos, by the way, and it's $10 a year. And when you get a new phone, the other little party trick it has built in is that it can download all those photos to your camera roll on your new phone. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that necessarily, unless you like all your pictures on your physical device. But I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. But I think that them being in the cloud is a better place for them. But this is a great thing. It's $10 a year. I recommend it. And I, of course, because, you know, no matter what, if you have your photos somewhere, I recommend a second place where you have them. And I'll be quite honest with you. I don't right now. I need to get this set up because I've got my photos in one place, Google Photos. And I'm really, really concerned about that because I have some old backups here, but I don't have a current backup that's like every day. And I need to do that very soon. I need to set that up. So don't be like me. Get your photos in two different places. I just happen to have a large, large, large amount of photos. So my solution just takes a little bit longer because it's kind of expensive and I just don't feel like spending the money to set it up. But I don't want to lose my picture. So you know what? I need to set that up very soon. So that's what it's called, iDrive Photos. And I will put the link, of course, in the show notes. Facebook this week came out with two new devices. They're portal devices. So if you remember last week or the week before, Facebook came out with sunglasses. Now they've got two new video chat devices. These are called portals. Now, I was there for the launch of the first generation of devices, and honestly, the reception was chilly at best. I mean, I've never seen the media knock down a company, and Facebook cannot catch a break at this point. The company has, I don't know what they're going to do to get on the positive side of things with people. But it's interesting because people, I look at people's phones all the time when I'm out and about. People are on Facebook all the time. People are on Instagram all the time. Instagram's owned by Facebook. But yet somehow people always say, like I see in the media, how much people hate Facebook. So do you hate it or do you like it? Because a lot of people are using it. This platform has 2.7 billion people on it. I think it's amazing because it connects people. And it allows you to do things like I personally have a Facebook page that has a lot of followers on it. And I love the fact that I can reach people around the world because of this free product. And it's amazing. I've had videos go viral on there that do so many views. It's like mind-boggling. It is a huge platform. And if you're discounting it and saying that they're, you know, oh, they're just in it for your, you know, data and they're in it. Yes, they are. But at the same time, they do provide a service to people, and that is connecting people. And now keeping people informed is a little bit different. Yes, people get a lot of stuff from Facebook, but it's not always the best stuff. And that's a problem, yes. But at the same time, the fact that I can disseminate a story on Facebook just as well as anyone else in the world is pretty cool. It's just, I don't know what the solution is to the fact that people get their news nowadays from Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I mean, no joke, people and YouTube. And the problem is there's just no editor. I'm nothing against all this information out there. It's amazing. But when you get your information from a company like the company I work for, like KTLA, we have systems and we have processes for getting information on TV and writing information on the web and what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do and what we are comfortable with doing. But if you're just some random Joe Schmo on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook, or Twitter, you can do whatever you want. You can say the sky is green, and that's because there are, you know, particles that the government sprays into the sky every day to make it blue, but it's actually green. I mean, you can say that. It's free speech, whatever. Well, free speech doesn't really apply to social media, but you know what I mean. My point is it's not fact-checked necessarily, and these social media networks are trying to do that, but it is an uphill battle. It's the stuff that I hear people say to me that is so ungrounded or grounded in nothing is just wild. I mean, look at the Apple rumors alone that we see that are published on big blogs and this and that, and half of them turn out to not be true. So I used to never cover Apple rumors for a long time, in fact, probably the first like 8 years of my job at KTLA, because I was like, this is a rumor. I don't cover rumors. I am a journalist that covers actual stories. And the problem became so many people are interested in the rumors and it's being reported everywhere. You look like you don't know what you're talking about because you're not talking about the rumors. And so I'm very clear when I talk about the fact that these are rumors or analysts, analyst predictions or whatever. I mean, that's really what the rumors are now. They're analyst. An analyst says. Okay, Portal Go. Let's talk about these two new devices from Facebook. So Portal Go is a 10-inch screen. It's portable. So this means that this little device can be taken from room to room. So when it's not being used, it sits on a wireless charger or some sort of charger. Maybe it's a contact charger. I'm not really sure. I haven't seen this in person yet. But you take it from room to room. So if your kids want to video chat with grandma in their bedroom, read them a book at night, whatever, you can. It's got a 12 megapixel smart camera, which has an ultra wide field of view, which means it follows you around the room. Like, so you got that video that kind of like moves around. It zooms in to like where the person is on the screen. And this is a cool little touch. This doubles as a portable speaker. So pretty smart because it is wireless and you can take it anywhere. That is a nice, I think that's a brilliant side use of this thing. This is $199 and available soon. The Portal Plus is a 14-inch screen and it's stationary, but the screen does tilt up and down, and that's $350. This is really for the, this is like Portal Go, I think would be for most people. This is kind of like high end. $350 is a lot. And this can let you zoom with 25 people at once on the screen. And so this is for someone who might want to keep this on their desk. Maybe we're talking like a work at home situation. You want to use it for Zoom. It's a little bit, I hope it's a little bit higher powered than the Portal Go. When I played with the devices, when they first launched, I think this was pre-pandemic. Oh my gosh, was it really that long ago? They were not well received. And honestly, when I played with them, they seemed to be a little bit underpowered. And I feel like that's kind of a theme I've seen with all of these like little devices that you put around your house, like the smart screens. They all seem to be just have a little bit less horsepower than you'd like. And I think they do that because they're using cheap chips inside because they're mass producing these things. But, and we're also spoiled from our iPhones and Androids that are so fast and snappy these days that these screens don't look like they're as fast. But those are the Portal devices. I think they're really cool because everyone has a Facebook account. It's easy to get someone on board, but honestly, I don't think they've sold as well as Facebook wants, but they're going to continue to make them because I do think it's a bedrock of what they do. They want to have this thing in the house, easy to chat, easy to connect. It can show your pictures. It can show your status updates, whatever. And I think that it's a cool product. I just think it's the problem of getting over that whole we don't trust Facebook kind of thing with these. Subject line is printers. Hi, Rich. I moved across country and the printer I've had for years didn't quite make it. LOL. My HP 8620 has worked great over the years, but for some reason only prints some items. A friend said it might be a quote unquote Chrome issue. I tried to update it, but my computer won't even recognize it. Needless to say, I need a new printer. Now, on the East Coast, not knowing anyone, you're the only one I can think of that might be able to help. Do you have any suggestions for a good all-in-one? Thanks for the time. Sincerely, Jamie. Jamie, your question couldn't have come at a better time. I just purchased a new printer, and I got mine at Costco, and it's a highly rated printer, and it might be overkill for what you need, but I got the HP. It's, hold on, I got to look up what I got here because I have it written down. Let's see here, printers. Where is it? Well, I thought I had it. There we go. Okay, so I got the HP 9018. Now, this might be a little overkill. It was only like $200 at Costco. And so a couple things here. Number one, you kind of have to decide. Do you want to go, there's a couple major manufacturers, of, well, there's a couple types of printers. Do you want to go with a LaserJet or do you want to go with a inkjet? Now, I had LaserJet for many years. I had a Brother printer that lasted me, I think it was 12 years. And, or wait, when did I get it? 2013? Anyway, I got it a long time ago and it was great. And it's lasted me forever, but the kids really wanted a color printer so they can print all they want. And so I was like, all right, fine. And color laser is cool, but I figured the inkjet was better because I wanted to print pictures at home. So with that in mind, you really have a choice of like, you have Canon, you have HP, and you have Epson. Canon, I haven't really heard much from lately, so really it comes down to Epson and HP for me. HP, to me, is synonymous with really expensive printer cartridges, but they've been around forever and they kind of know what they're doing, whereas Epson is really pushing this whole refillable ink well kind of concept where you just squeeze new ink into the well, and I like that because it appeals to my frugal side. And I like when companies are kind of like in the number two position where they, you know, will do things a little bit different to try to make it better. But at the end of the day, I did go with HP because I just figured, you know, HP's been around forever and this was highly rated and let me do it. So that's what I got. And I think that you can look for one along that line. I got the kind of the Pro series, but maybe you don't need the Pro. It depends what you're doing with this thing. But I would go to Costco if you can. I know you're on the East Coast. Costco, what I love about them, and I talk about them on the show a lot, is that when it comes to electronics, they don't have a huge selection, but the selection they do have is really good. And so whatever you get there is going to be a little bit better than, say, another place. Now, Best Buy, you'll notice, this is what I don't want you to do. Don't just find the cheapest printer that's on sale for $60, $67, $90 at Best Buy on an end cap, because what happens there is that you're going to get subpar quality and you're going to be using the ink on that. That's a razor blade, you know what I mean? So, or that's a razor handle. And the blades are where they make a lot of the money. Now, on my printer, same thing, but it is a very nice printer and it has a lot of great features and it's high end. So these cheapo printers, they're cutting corners somewhere, and that's probably in the quality of the print or the cartridges are going to be a little bit more expensive, whatever. So I would be, just don't get that one. The other thing that I did, which I, this is news to me, but HP has this subscription service called like HP Instant Ink. I think it's called HP Instant Ink, and it's so wild because it's basically a subscription. So my printer, I'm getting this free for 6 months, by the way. And again, I'll put a referral link if you want to try it with your printer, but in the show notes. But my printer is not my own. It's connected to the internet, and once you sign up for this program, you pay a monthly fee, and for that monthly fee, you get to print a certain amount of pages. They don't care how much ink it takes. So for instance, you can pay, I think on mine, I'm doing $5 a month for 100 pages. And so I can print 100 pages of pictures. I can print 100 pages of whatever I want, as long as I'm, you know, paying that $5 a month. Now they send you unlimited ink to do that. So they don't go by the ink cartridge price. You're just, they just send you a bunch of ink and you pop it in your machine and your machine talks back to the internet and reports every time you print a page. So as of right now, I can tell you how many pages I have printed on my printer and if I'm getting up against my limit. And so I don't know if this is going to last. I don't know if I'm going to do this forever, but I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if it's cheaper. It seems like it might be cheaper than, you know, buying ink all the time. So it says you're saving up to 50% on ink and toner, and you can also print from anywhere, which is kind of cool. And I've printed 39 pages this month. So it's just such a weird kind of, it's such a weird system. Like it's, I'm kind of like, I feel like I work in an office where someone else, like a third party is like managing my printer, even though I purchased this printer. But I hope I answered your question. I've got 36 out of 100 pages this month. And oh yeah, $4.99. So $4.99 for 100 pages a month. So if the kids end up printing more than that, now to me, that's $60 a year. Five times 12 is 60. That sounds like it's the price of an inkjet cartridge. And I don't know how much inkjet cartridges are for my computer. It might be more, might be less, but I think that this is a cool little system to go with. All right. Let's see. Let's go to the next question. Or no, we're going to the next story here. Wyzecam has come out with a new version, the Wyzecam Pan 2. This is the Wyzecam. I did a story on many, many years ago before this company was a big thing, and people could not believe that you can get a camera for $20. Then they came out with some other products. I think the Wyzecam Pan was their second product, and this was a little bit more expensive, but it was a camera that would move like on its base. It would, you know, move left, right, up, down, whatever. So now they have a new version of that, and this, I'll tell you about the features. So number one, you can see the whole room in 3 seconds. It's got a 360-degree horizontal coverage and 93 degrees vertical coverage. So it goes up, down, left, right. You can just kind of pan, see everything. There's this pan scan mode, which patrols your room. So you can set up to 4 custom waypoints, and kind of like those security cameras at the mall that just rotate left, right, up, down. You can have that in your house, so this thing just does that by itself. Color night vision. So they use this starlight sensor, which illuminates details in full color, even in the dark. So, you know, most cameras at night are black and white, but this one, you can see things in color. Those infrared lights are not visible to the naked eye. So I know my kids, when they were little, with a little camera in their room, the kids cam, they were like, "Dad, I don't like those little lights on the thing." And I'd be like, "Oh, they're okay. Don't worry about it." But really, I'm like, "Oh my God, that's like the scariest thing I've ever seen for a little tiny kid." But somehow my kids made it through. And Wisecam Pan V2 does not have those lights on them. So it's invisible. Or I guess the infrared lights are not visible to the naked eye for night vision. Motion tracking, it'll track things. So if something's detected, it will pan across as the object moves across. So if you have like Bigfoot spotted in your yard, it will follow it until it goes out of the frame. And then two-way audio and a little siren. So you can chat two-way audio. If you've got like a pet at home you want to chat with, you can talk two ways with them and hear them bark back. And then there's also a siren button, and they call it a mini siren. So clearly it's not going to be that loud, but at least it's, I mean, I haven't tested this, but at least it's going to be loud enough where you have a nice little siren if you need to ring the alarm, as we say. This camera is $40 plus shipping, so it'll be available soon. But Wisecam Pan V2. I love Wise stuff. They do a really nice job, I gotta say. Okay, Earl Gee says, "Good day. Hello, Rich. I hope you're doing well. I'm Earl Gee," I hope I'm saying that right, "from Philippines. I work on the iStore Service Center. iStore is an authorized service provider of Apple. I always watch your videos because I've learned a lot of things for additional learning. Thanks, Earl Gee." Oh, well, thank you. It's funny, I do have a lot of followers in various countries because some of the videos I've done have gone viral, and, you know, people, I mean, if someone's good, like, you care if they live in the U.S. or, you know, wherever they live. I follow some, you know, YouTubers that are in different countries. And so I love the fact that people watch in different countries. That's pretty cool. So thank you for watching, and I'm glad you like the videos. I always keep, if you notice with my videos, I always keep in mind that not everyone watching is in Los Angeles. I mean, even though I'm based in Los Angeles, you know, with the web, things are everywhere, and not just in the U.S. It's like international, and so I try to keep that in mind, and it doesn't always work, but I try to do that. Speaking of a U.S.-centric story, starting November 1st, T-Mobile will now have in-store device repairs at 500 stores across the country. This is the first time they've done this, and service locations are coming to nearly every major city across the country, so chances are this will be coming to you. Starting November 1st, customers with Protection 360 can find the authorized location, use the online appointment tool to make a same-day repair schedule. The repairs are coming from Assurant, which I'm assuming is the backers of this insurance. And honestly, I don't really typically recommend getting the protection plans on gadgets, but you know, if you can get them repaired in-store at T-Mobile and you're with T-Mobile, that's a pretty good deal, because nobody wants to be without their phone. And I did the math. This is about $7 a month, which is pretty inexpensive when you think about it. I mean, you buy, like, I bought a Starbucks yesterday, it was $5. So clearly I can afford the $7 a month for this protection. And the fact that they will now repair these things in store, I think, is really cool. You also get up to 5 claims per year. So that's good. So you can, for that $7 a month. Now, I don't know what, it depends on, you know, the $7. I don't know what that, how, if there's like a deductible, if you have to pay stuff, you know, every time you break something, but says you get accidental damage, loss, and theft coverage, including next business day replacements. So that's cool. You get Apple Care for eligible Apple devices. You get unlimited screen protector replacements, and they will put it on for you. They get hardware service coverage, like a mechanical breakdown included. Jump upgrades, which lets you get the latest and greatest device sooner. Tech support. And you can add the Protection 360 when you buy a new device, you complete a repair, lease, or finance up to 30 days later. So I think this is cool. I'm glad they're doing this, because a lot of times, you know, authorized service centers are kind of limited to either an individual shop or you break, I fix, but this is just one more way of getting your device fixed. And the fact that, you know, people will probably roll this Protection 360, it's on their monthly bill. So it's just simpler that it's like one-stop shop for everything, and you get your phone fixed. And I really like that. So good job, T-Mobile. I don't know if all the carriers are doing that. June says, "Hey Rich, my wife bought a Tesla model." Oh, My wife bought a Tesla Model 3 Standard Range Plus. We're currently looking for car insurance. Maybe you have a recommendation for us. We don't drive that much since we are currently teleworking. Thank you. Have a great day. Best, June. J-U-N. Well, June, I would check out Metromile. And this is the company that does insurance by the mile. And so you put, like, you used to be, you put this little, like, thing in your car. But maybe they do it with your cell phone now. I don't know how it works at this point, but I was an early tester of this, and it was like they sent me this little gadget that you would plug into your, like, I don't know, I think it was called like an ODB port or something like that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a port on your car that you know, has all the, let me see, car port, OBD. Okay, maybe it's OBD. Yeah, OBD. And so you put this little thing in this... let me see. Is that really what it's called? I think that's what it's called. I don't know. Anyway, you put this little thing in there, but I don't think the Tesla has that, but I know Metromile works with Tesla, but I would look at that. And so it says you pay $29 monthly rate. Oh, we base your rates on age, credit score, and zip code. And then we consider real-time data like the miles you drive. So you pay like a certain monthly rate, and then you pay per the mile. I mean, it's really pretty straightforward. And those prices, I think, depend on, you know, what your, like I said, your credit rate and all that stuff. But anyway, I would look at Metromile. The other thing I like is called Gabby, G-A-B-I.com. You can compare insurance from various places. And as you found out, as I found out, insuring a Tesla 3 is quite expensive because they're safe, but the repairs are expensive because you have to have Tesla do it, and a lot of the repairs are very technical because of all of the gadgets involved. All right, one more question from Mark. Hey, Rich, I love following you for all your updates and tips. Do you know, is there a way to clean out duplicate photos on my main album? Thank you, sent for my iPhone. Yes, I've gotten this question a lot because so many people are upgrading to iPhones, but I like the app called Gemini Photos, G-E-M-I-N-I, Gemini Photos. And it's, I don't know, how much does it cost? It's a one-time fee, I believe, in-app purchases. It's probably not. It probably changed it because everything is now a subscription. Yeah, monthly. Okay, one-time purchase is $35, annual $20, monthly $5. So it removes similar pictures, but I would just be very careful. Anytime that you are deleting pictures off your phone, just be very careful because I don't want you to delete anything that might not be a duplicate or something that you can't get back. So when you're doing something like a batch delete, just be very, very careful. Make sure you have a backup there. Oh, wow. Look at that. That sound means it is the end of the show. Thanks so much for listening. That's going to do it for this episode. If you'd like to submit a question for me to answer, just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Hit the big blue send email button, or you can go to richontech.tv, hit the email icon, send me your question away, and I will answer it or do my best to answer it on the show. Also, I would love it if you would rate and review this podcast. So I think two more people reviewed it this week, but they didn't leave, they just rated it. They didn't review. So if you can, write a quick line about what you like about the show, and that helps other people understand why they should listen. We've been showing up in the top charts on Apple a lot lately, and so the more that people can read about the show, the more that they can maybe download it and listen and become part of the family. You can also go to ratethispodcast.com/richontech. You can find me on social media at Rich on Tech, and no matter where you live in the U.S., you can download the free KTLA Plus app on Apple TV, Fire TV, and Roku. Then you can scroll down to the tech section and watch all of my segments on demand. My name is Rich DeMuro. Thanks so much for listening. There are so many ways you can spend an hour of your time. I do appreciate you spending it right here with me. I'll talk to you real soon.